we seem to be getting closer to a point where we stop labeling as someone who is biracial. I've never been a guy of labels. And you know what kind of struck me when I stopped by the society myself? I accidentally walked into the school because I thought that they were one building, and actually the place of worship is up front. But one of the things I initially thought about, well, not the differences we have, but the things that we have that are similar interests, like kids. And when I heard those kids playing, I thought, wow, I wonder if these people were worried about the safety of their children. And the word Muslim seems to bring up the radical fears more so than the moderates, because the moderates don't make the news, and right. So there are those fears. And I got to tell you, when I fly, I'm profiling. And I'm probably the person who could be profiled more than anyone, because I'm of mixed race. Right. I've been profiled all my life. But I worry about that, and I shouldn't. I know it's wrong. I work on it constantly. But it's a fear that we all have to kind of disassociate ourselves with. And to do that, we need to know what we have in common as opposed to what we don't.
That's correct. And, you know, I completely being, you know, when they look at my passport and my ID badge, they see abdominal. I mean, you look at me, you assume somebody who grew up in the United, you know, I'm fairly white.
Sure.
Although, you know, I'm a Middle Eastern descent. But once you get your name, then suddenly I've been randomly selected for a search. You know, that type of fear I understand, to be totally honest. I understand that initial response, oh, my God, you know, that guy was praying. What else is he going to do? Because, unfortunately, the message that has gotten out is that, that you know, if you see this, then expect this. Most people don't realize those terrorists and those monsters that committed that egregious act in 9/11, they were at strip clubs planning this event. All right. Now, if they were truly believers in God, they would not be at strip clubs planning such a horrendous event. So that just tells you that these monsters are what they are. They're monsters. They're terrorists. They're evil creatures, and they have nothing to do with our faith.
There's just been this conflict for hundreds and hundreds of years. Is it ever going to end?
Well, you know, honestly, there was no conflict. I mean, let's look at it this way. Muslims, Christians, and Jews lived with each other under the Umayyad period, under the Abbasid period, and overall in relative peace and harmony. And then you had the Crusades. And then there was these tragedies of the Crusades in the sense that, you know, there was a war, but it was in a very localized area. I mean, let's look at then the Middle East at large. Christians, Muslims, and Jews were still living with each other. And we forget the beauty of Andalusian Spain, which showed, you know, Maimonides, a great Jewish scholar, came out of Spain and physician. Where did he die and where is he buried? Where is his holy shrine? It's actually in Egypt. So, you know, Jews go to Egypt to go to his shrine to worship. So, you know, that just shows you that we have a great tendency to emphasize the negative, and that gives us false perception that there's very little that brings us in common. Look at what Reverend Carlson did at All Saints Episcopal Church, and also had the pleasure of being at the International Day of Peace at the Methodist Church in downtown Lansing. Their great work really, it should be where the media should be. Where was, you know, Channel 7 or ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN, all those channels? Where was even the print media? Those events had people who came together of different faiths, different backgrounds, who discovered that ultimately what brought them together and unified them is the transcendent values from the same creator that they all worship. And it's those transcendent values that bring us together, and that shows that your Muslim neighbor is not someone you need to fear, your Jewish neighbor is not someone you need to fear, your Hindu neighbor is not someone you need to fear, and your Christian neighbor is not someone you need to fear, that we're all brothers and sisters.
Let's talk about the Holy Land. When you have this war, if you will, between Muslims, how in the world are we going to expect for Christians and the Jews and Lebanon to all live in the same region? It would seem like we would be able to do that, and it would seem like the people who live there could make that work, but there are so many outside influences that are trying to keep that segregated there.
You know, I tell a lot of people that the greatest advocates for Palestinian rights are Israelis. Most people don't know that. They don't make the news because they're not – they don't have that. The problem is that our media is designed for the political value. Okay, that's what creates and engender debates and helps – drive pundits and speakers and employs those those individuals. And that's fine. America is about the freedom of expression. But when you just discuss political values, then what happens is people then don't remember what they actually have in common, which is transcendent values. When those transcendent values, dignity, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the freedom to believe what you want to believe, the respect of each other's opinion, which really is the cornerstone of our Constitution. It's a transcendent value paper. That when we emphasize those transcendent values, then you'll discover is that those political values no longer have the divisiveness that unfortunately they have, because there's no longer any type of control. We no longer discuss morality and ethics. We just talk about what politically divides us. Yeah. And when we try to emphasize transcendent values with political values, you'll find that a lot of this stuff gets resolved very quickly.
I've got about 30 seconds later. During the break, we were talking about how the Bible could be perceived as an extension, or the Quran could be an extension of the Bible. Talk about that. Can you sum that up?
Yeah. Well, basically, the Muslims have the Quran, which was the holy word of God brought down to Muhammad, as the Bible was the holy word of God that brought down to Jesus. The book of Psalms was the holy word of God brought down to David. We call it the Zabur. And the Torah, the holy word of God, brought down to Abraham and also Moses. The idea here is that these are all the words of God and the holy words of God. The Quran is the culmination of it, in the sense that the way the Quran is maintained and kept, it holds none of the commentary that the Bible and the Torah and some of the other books hold. So that it's an extension, in the sense that it's an attempt to maintain as much purity to the original word as it came down. As we know that the Bible does have versions and variations, and whereas the Quran tends to have a single version.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.